Blog Talk Radio. Reflective of the people that we are speaking about and speaking to. In this day, in this dear time, we are talking about those underserved communities, those oppressed communities, particularly communities of African / black communities. So what we'd like to do right now, man, there are so many things going on right now. We'd like to get your views, your analysis on some of these key issues. One of the most key concerns that's going on today is dealing with this question of the Trump, of Donald Trump and his tweets. When you listen to Donald Trump's and his tweets, many people objectively, Emmanuel, has came up with a position that why are all his tweets are basically racist in its nature and character. Give me your commentary on Donald Trump's and his tweets.
Well, Donald Trump tweets early in the mornings, and he tweets with a lot of nonsense. But again, if you don't like him or embrace him or analyze or basically adore him, he tweets very negative. To him, everybody is unqualified to do anything except for him. He's the most unqualified person I've ever seen to do anything. Has no business acumen. He's a crook. When you file bankruptcy 6 times or more, you're a crook. You don't want to give your tax return like everybody else done. You're always talking about President Obama. Obama gave 11 years of tax returns. He has given up not any because he's a crook. When a person tweets, want to fire somebody all the time, has no respect for anyone, basically, for anyone that don't side with him. Talked about John McCain, a war hero. Said he wasn't a hero because he got captured. Things he tweets are basically nonsense. Things he's tweeting about the mayor of Puerto Rico. She's telling the truth. Donald Trump hates the truth. But he's a liar. He's a pathetic liar. So he hates the truth. He don't like to be shown of his incompetence. He is very, very bipolar, narcissistic, sees all of these things that are mentally unstable because he's not successful like he want to be. And the thing about the whole thing is that you have to understand things about Donald Trump is not, they're not absurd. The truth, and he don't like the truth. He has no business acumen, like I said before. Filing bankruptcy, a defunct university that defrauding people. He's an embezzler. He is, I think, $4.3 billion worth of debt. He's worth a little over $3 billion, so he's upside down. So he's not a billionaire, never been a billionaire, basically. His investors in him were billionaires together. But people are afraid of him. The whole problem. They are afraid of him. They're afraid to talk against him because of his paybacks. People that voted for him, people that look like him, people that think like him, they are like him. So he basically can't do any wrong because they're wrong. See, when you're trying to make a wrong a right, that takes a lot. We saw Nelson Mandela. His life was spent over 30-some years for trying to make a right a wrong. See, European Americans, Caucasians, they're never wrong if it don't benefit them. See, slavery benefited them. Before they're concerned with not a wrong. This great country began with slavery. Capitalism began with slavery. But he tweets about the things that He knows he's wrong, but he wants to try to make him right, regardless how he don't want to be wrong. And that's his whole problem about being bipolar. He has a different way of thinking. He thinks a lot like Adolf Hitler. He's German, so he should think like that. He wants you to stay on your side. But he just don't know this, but things are changing. It's going to be what he thinks it's going to be. So you stole the country from Native Americans. You made a constitution. They weren't included. But this is their country. Take your country back. You think that Bald Eagle want to take his country back? See, Bald Eagle, that's who it belongs to. He wants everybody to go back where they come from. Everybody go back to Europe. I mean, won't have to go back to Africa for all the diamonds, all the natural resources are. And Europe won't get any. If I'm back there, they won't get any. They be 30 days, there'll be no Europe. Because God didn't give no natural resources. That's why they have to say, God bless America. Because America is not in the Bible. That's why they say it all the time. God bless America. Because it's not there. The United States is not in the Bible. The country they're talking about in the Bible, they still here. But we weren't there. We weren't even visualized at a particular time. Understand that. Our problem is understanding. His problem is understanding. His tweets, you can't understand them, basically, because they're all racist, basically. They're all to the right. They're all one-sided. It's his way or the highway. Those are his tweets. Everything, again, if you don't agree with him or disagree with him, you're totally disrespectful to everything, to the flag, the national anthem. You disrespect everything. And he's a very disrespectful man. When you see a man shake his wife's hand, he got a whole lot of problems. I never shook my wife's hand. Married almost 43 years. Never shook her hand. But that's the kind of relationship that he has with everybody if you don't agree with him. I don't know how these older white men, older Europeans, how they disagree, how they agree with him, knowing he's wrong. Everybody knows he's wrong. If you're wrong, you're liberal. You're liberal. Well, I think we talk about liberty and justice for all. I don't think you talk about conservative and justice for all, or racist and justice for all. It says liberty and justice for all. All don't mean a few, or you pick out some people. Be specific. It means everyone that lives in the United States of America. You created the bias. You created slavery. You created segregation. You created Jim Crow. All this is your creation. You created the inequality. You created the injustices. This is all your creation. And you put people around you. I call it the champagne cabinet, that help you create this craziness. And both of you crooks do things that are totally, there's no accountability for what you do. As a human being, you're always asking for something. God bless. Not blessing no craziness. Not blessing no stupidity. He's not blessing no wrongdoing. And that's basically what you do is wrongdoing all the time. Of disrespectfulness for all citizens. This country is turning brown. In 2050, it's going to be 60% brown. What are you going to do then? So you're drawing the lines down to make sure you stay in power, like South Africa, with 1% your European, Caucasians, or white, basically. They're governing 99% black. They'll stand for that. But I'm going to tell you something right now. African Americans, We're not standing for that. Asian Americans, we're not standing for that. Hispanic Americans, we're not standing for that. We want the same rights that you have. 100% of the same. We want equality, not inequality. We want justice, not that's what we have right now. And Mr. Kaepernick, that's what he said, why we took one knee, because of injustice and equality. Not about this flag, not about the national anthem, nothing to do with nothing. I don't know why you want to change the narrative. But this all began about a year ago. The narrative has been changed. We're not talking about soldiers. We're not talking about the flag. We're not talking about the national anthem. None of these things. Why don't you tweet at 4 o'clock in the morning? But that's something you can't do because you're a pathetic liar. That's something you cannot do.
You know, Emmanuel, again, we're going to take some phone calls. We'd like to hear other people's commentaries and analysis as relates to Donald Trump's, his tweets, and other issues that's going on today. But, Emmanuel, in terms of looking at Donald Trump's response to the disaster in Puerto Rico, what do you make of that?
Very negative response because they're brown people. I think he said what he wanted to say. It's a debt crisis type country. It's been like that way for a while. They have no voting rights, but, you know, for the presidency. They are from our rules, our regulations, our laws. But they have no representation, basically. They're basically a vacation or tourist entity to the United States. They're a province, the Virgin Islands of the province. And they knew this storm was coming, Category 5. They knew this. They prepared for it. The response has been very negative. This is his Katrina. It's going to be his Katrina. Allocation of funds will not be that great. Because, again, Puerto Rican with their major Democratic island, Virgin Islands, the same. For as he concerned, he'd rather play golf than to deal with the crisis in Puerto Rico. He knows the response is very negative. It's not the same as in Houston, not the same as in Florida. You have no one saying anything about Florida negative because their people are back there just about. Friends of mine are back. They've cleaned up debris like nothing to it. Puerto Rico, they knew it needs 30 or 40,000 troops up in there. Helicopters is an island. We know how to do this very easy. We could get to Vietnam, but no problem. Look how far that's away. But again, they're brown people. And that's what he's all against, people of color. He's what he is. He's showing his true colors. He's on the golf course, I think, this morning playing golf. He's not worried about what's going on in Puerto Rico. He said they're in debt. They're in debt crisis. Their infrastructure is totally dilapidated. Well, you own them. You know what's going on down there. All you want to do is put cruise ships up in there and take the money out of there. That's all they want to do. Just drain the economy. They predict the economy. Puerto Rico, it belongs to us, the American citizens. But again, they're double standards. And he knows this. He's making you aware of this. You're on your own. He basically called them lazy to a certain point. He's saying, go ahead and what can they do? That's an island, and you own it. You basically rationalize stuff to them. Everything is rational. You make them what they are. Well, make them a state like it did Hawaii. You want to make District Columbia state. Everybody know the reasons why, the real reasons. But you lie so much. A country of liars. Congress, a place of lying, it's one of their major forms of organizing. How much can we lie through a big word called capitalism? And we do that through racism and bigotry. Or would capitalism be the two of the components of capitalism? It's racism and bigotry, two of the components that make it strong. Of course, the third component is cheap labor. But this is what we're talking about. We're talking about a presidency, an administration that basically obsessed with President Obama, what he did up on obstruction, but he still did it for 8 years. So you can't erase the legacy. I think he has signed 35 bills, executive orders, trying to erase what President Obama has done or tried to disapprove most of it or put some type of, you know, rejections to it, whatever he can do to scale it back. That's all this guy is doing. When you come up with something that's original, he has nothing original, nothing, because he doesn't know. A crook doesn't know. He's a schemer, a two-bit hustler we have in the White House. Two-bit, because he's broke. People call, he won't even pay the banks back. He has to go through Russia to get money from somewhere, because he has no money. He owes people $4.3 billion in debt. His assets are $3.6 billion. So he's a negative. Poor businessman. He's a failure. Won't he tweet that? That he's a failure as a businessman. He won't tweet that. This is what this guy is about. And Puerto Rico got to understand. They do understand. And the mayor of Puerto Rico said he doesn't really, because they're brown people. He don't care about brown people, black people, or people of color, how you want to put it. He really doesn't care.
Right now, you are listening to Missing Pages of History. Today, we are doing a program around the theme, MPH, News Commentary, Analysis, and Tweets. Right now, we are talking about Donald Trump and his erratic behavior and tweets. And we'd like to hear your perspective, your commentary on it. And you can do this by calling in at 818-337-0016. Hit 1, and we will acknowledge your last call, your last four numbers. We have a call on the line. We'll take our first call, caller 6029. What is your commentary on Donald Trump and his tweets, and how the media is dealing with it? Caller, welcome to the Missing Pages of History, 6029.
Thanks for having me. My commentary on Donald Trump is simply this. I think one of the things to understand, in the context of, you know, American politics, there was a mandate to elect Donald Trump. When we talk in terms of electoral college, in terms of role it plays in terms of politics in America, clearly when we talk about democracy, we're discrepancy between one man, one vote in the so-called electoral college. So clearly a lot of organized interests had a real interest in terms of ensuring Donald Trump was elected. And subsequently, he was elected. Now, the kind of things, the kind of charades, the kind of inhuman, the kind of pathetic positions that he takes are part and parcel of the desire of the ruling class to push forth the agenda. So everything Donald Trump does is not only in the interest, you know, of Donald Trump, it's also in the interest that are very powerful. So I think in that context, you understand that when we talk about democracy in its truest sense, democracy doesn't exist. And when we talk about the interest of the 1% against all others, the 1% interest always takes precedent over anything that happens in the society. So again, I think Donald Trump just epitomizes the disparity between the powerful and the powerless in the society, and the powerful ability to get mainly anything and everything they want. So I think everything he does is in keeping with, you know, his class standing in the society. So I don't think we should be surprised and nothing he does, and particularly when it comes to, you know, fomenting, you know, racism. Of course, we understand that racism is a very important tactic in terms of dividing people. And one of the things you want to do in terms of the 1%, one of the things you want to do is you want to keep people polarized. You want to keep them fighting each other. So a lot of people fight each other. No one ever points a finger at what is a real systemic problem in terms of what is going on in America. So I think all these things he does is tactically sanctioned by those positions of power. We anticipate more of this kind of outrageous behavior by this orange human being, with this orange person who sits in the White House.
Thank you, Carla, for your comments. We thank you. Going back to Emmanuel, you heard the caller comments. One of the things he made me think about was when you talk about dividing people. Recently, Donald Trump made a statement where he called the African football players SOBs, and they should be fired for kneeling down and sitting down. In terms of how he dealt with that and addressed with that, Emmanuel, what would be your commentary on the way he dealt with the issue and what kind of signals are he sending out to the world when he expresses himself like that?
Well, when he said SOB, it went around the world. Commentations came from over 100 countries. They're all negative, not in his favor. But he would say it'd be in his favor. Because he's a liar, a pathetic liar. You're dealing with someone, like I said before, he's mentally ill because he's not been successful like he wanted to be as a businessman. He's mad with the world because they won't loan him any more money. He can't put his name on any more towers or hotels. So nobody want him anymore, basically, if he can't do what they tell him to do. So he got his kids and he got his, you know, job, I call it interrelations, which is, you know, son-in-law and this type of trying to do things, him dragging him into corruption like he is. He's very corrupted. His mandate and his people that deal with him are racist people. America's 80% racist. You have to deal with this. You're talking about Europeans who are racist. That's why they came here, basically. We have been divided since 1693, when slavery began, or when we started trying to own people. We're never going to be undivided. We're never going to be together because we started out wrong. It's hard to bend this tree now. This tree was not straight when it began. It's already bent when it began. The branches, all the branches are the same way. The racist branches. You got middle states, the red states they call them. I call them the devil states, why it's red. You got the states down south who informed slavery from Virginia on down, below the Mason-Dixon, basically. They have different forms of racism. And that's his agenda. His agenda to make America white again. Like I said, I try to stop using the word white. Because white means pure. I'd rather use the word European Americans, like they call us African Americans. And that's where we have to start at. We have to stop calling people white and stop calling people black. Let's call them where they come from. European Americans, African Americans, Asian Americans. Let's call them what they are. Mexican Americans. We have to start doing that first. That's a protest? Nope. We're going to call you what you are. Stop putting on the applications white. Put on the European Americans. Let's put that one out there. Let's start there. Identifying people properly and correctly. Because like I said before, black is a legislative, I think it was 1923 in Richmond, Virginia, that you're 1/16, you're black or whatever. Well. Well, let's kill that. I want to say one more thing before I turn it back over to your host. On the TV show Count Up Wednesday, I'm going to do the history of the national anthem. I don't think nobody going to like it. It shouldn't even be a national anthem. because the history of it is very, very negative. No one should be standing for this song. Let's talk about the third and fourth verses. We're going to talk about those two verses. If you will sing the national anthem, let's sing the whole thing. Let's do the whole thing. Not picking pieces that you want to sing. That's okay. Let's talk about the whole thing. The history of the national anthem. Do the history of the flag. Let's do this whole thing. Do the history of the national anthem. I don't think nobody wants to hear this history. Let's talk about Francis Scott Key. Let's talk about the people that wrote the third stanza, a slave owner. So let's talk about it. Why are we standing for such a racist anthem?
What we're going to do right now, we believe we have another caller. We're going to bring in a caller, hear their views and comments as relates to this commentary or these tweets by Donald Trump. So we can take caller 8963, caller 8963. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. What is your commentary on the behavior of Donald Trump, his tweets, and his ideas of how he's dealing with resolving the various issues that are confronting this country and the world today? Caller 8963. You want us to call 8963? Okay, let's move to call the 4298. Call the 4298. Give us your views, on Donald Trump and his tweets.
Yes, well, Donald Trump is a highly emotional, subjective person. And, he obviously is interested in making as much money as possible. And as he said about Africa, his friends go to Africa to get rich. So he's obviously into exploiting any and every opportunity he can. But he's a very emotional and psychotic person. Perspective on North Korea is very warped. He has no understanding of their problems. There's no empathy, no compassion for the people of Korea. And he talked about wiping them off the earth, more or less. And he talks off the top of his head. He's very ignorant, and he doesn't think things through. And he'd like to call it said he's about the ruling class, the 1%, and he's looking out for their interests and trying to do whatever he can to fatten his own pockets. And, he will say things that are going to help poor and oppressed people, but he's just lying. And, so I know people getting to know him, and hopefully people will sober up and recognize that he's not good for this country. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. Emmanuel, before we make this transition from Donald Trump, but we can still stay in the same ballpark, when you look at the issue of Colin Kaepernick and the whole reason why he took a knee when he played the national anthem, had nothing really to do with the so-called flag or the military. This issue was centered around police brutality, inequality, etc. Seems like Trump and the media has hijacked the narrative, and they have taken away from the real essence of what it was all about. That was the whole question about equality and police brutality as it relates to African people in this country. Now, how do we get back on the right track and force America to deal with the realities of inequality and police brutality?
Well, it's very difficult to get back because, again, the platform has been, he has changed the platform from racism. And, of course, the components of racism are the ones you just named, injustice, inequality. You know, this is what he does. He changed the narrative at all given times. Because, again, it's not about him. But it's not about him. Nothing to do with sports, basically. Because he didn't, you know, couldn't buy a sports team. Nobody wanted to basically work for him. The investors come like that. He can't fill his pockets. He has no pockets to fill. He's a poor billionaire, poor, with assets owed out to the bank. He's poor. I think they say he's worth $300 million if he cashes everything in at the most. That's all he's worth, $300 million. He won't show his tax returns because he's not what he is. He's not successful as the Bloombergs of the world. He's not successful as these guys own these football teams. These guys own the teams. He's jealous of that because he don't own the team. He basically don't own anything, basically. He don't own to the banks and investors. That's what he has nothing. And he's mad because he don't have anything. He just boasts and tell a bunch of lies. He said, I want to give a charity $1 million. He didn't do that. But Kavanaugh gave him $1 million flat and reported it. Not a problem. But again, here's a man don't have a job because of the backlash. See, this is what they do. When Mandela did his thing in South Africa, 1% of the ruling class run that whole country. We're trying to copy that. That ain't going to happen here because we're almost 13%. And the Hispanics, they're about 18%, and others about 7%. So it can't happen here. It's almost 38%, basically minorities of people of color to a certain extent. And the young millennials, they're not going to stand for it. He knows this. He knows the change is coming, and he's trying to stop it at all costs. So you got certain people that on his side regardless, because they're racist. They're nationalists. They're white nationalists. The ideology is totally different. They believe in what they believe in. They believe you're a second class, third class citizen. This is what they believe. You don't go that route, they're gonna treat you like one. But again, we have to stand up. We have to take a stand. We have to take a stand. Myself, you call me the N-word, I'm going to call you the N-word back. That's just me. Because I'm not going to stand down. We're afraid. We are still afraid of Caucasian European Americans. We are still afraid. The police make sure we stay afraid because they're the terrorist group. Most of the police, they're probably the terrorist group. They're former Klan people. They're sheriffs. This is who they are. Anything, anywhere with R-E in front, you know that's trouble. It's trouble. That's a trouble prefix. Very troubled. And people who believe in repeat, redo, redone, R-E is what it is. Republican. And all you got to do is take the word Republican and circle the L, the I, and the E. Or you can circle the L, I, A, R. They're liars. That's who they are. That's who they are. We have to understand that. They have the two L's. The two big L's, they own the two L's. That's lazy and liars. Back to you, host.
Okay, to my listening audience, you're listening to Missing Pages of History. Our theme today is MPH News Commentaries, Analysis and Tweets, and we'd like to hear your views and comments, analysis on what's going on today. What I'm going to do right now, Emmanuel, I want you to respond to this question, then I'd like to have my listening audience, those who have called in and still online, to give their commentary to this issue. When you look at what's going on today in the U.S. under the
Trump administration. He seems to symbolize this whole concept what many people call white nationalism or white supremacy. But under the white nationalism so-called movement, they make the argument that European people have been treated unjustly, unfairly in this country when it comes to inequality. How do you make such a jump from using the concept of white nationalism to justify inequality for European people here in this country when all those who have power and those who are mainly in control are of European in origin? Speak to that projection, Emmanuel, and then I'll let my callers respond to it as well.
Well, we're talking about oppression. Talking about oppressed people. And that's basically conflate the just struggle of oppressed people with white nationalism is merely a variant of white supremacist ideology. I'm going to underline the word white and call it European supremacist ideology. And theology, of course, is to make sure that the creation and dissemination of a little propaganda is second to her. They want to make sure of this. Get the propaganda out there first. That's what they believe in, the propaganda. I look at the Russians when the Russian went to Facebook. What they put on it, the Achilles heel was African Americans. We are the Achilles tendon in America. 12.8% of us in the population. But we is why they're struggling, because they have to deal with us. We are the most urgent political people here. Why? Because we do take stands, we do protest. Millennials, they protest, the younger people, because they're not going to take a wrong and try to make it right. And this is what the accomplishment that's the dawning objective of social transformation of European supremacist ideology. This is their thing, to make sure that the status quo stay the same, regardless. I'm going to give you a number that make them, so this is the ideology, when the caller's talking about filling their pockets. Here's the pocket filler. There's about 35,000 black millionaires in America, United States of America. About 35,000 total. At all 50 states. Just to give you the disparity on this, there are 295,000 millionaires in L.A. 295 versus 35,000 of all the United States. This is the disparity of capitalism. 85,000 attorneys in L.A. are millionaires. Twice as many as the 35,000 of all blacks in all 50 states. We're not talking about New York yet, San Francisco. We're not talking about Dallas, not talking about Miami or Chicago. We're talking about one city in L.A., I'm sorry, in California. 295,000 millionaires. Not talking about San Diego, Oakland, Princeton, none of those. This is how bad we are. For the money concern, capitalism. When a black person dies, they're worth about $8,000 total. White person dies, $118,000. That's what we're talking about. Not about no flag. Not about no national anthem. We're talking disparity of wealth from working hard. Why? Because they got a 400-year lead on us. They didn't pay us for 275 as slaves. This is the lead they got on us. And we can't catch up. They're not going to let you catch up. See, this is the problem. This is the problem with capitalism. Because, again, capitalism, it's racism. Another component is cheap labor. Another component is the utilization, how they pay the labor, is wages, how they pay these people, how they pay us. They're going to make sure you have unemployment. Like I said, we feed capitalism in three areas. We feed them through incarceration, pays huge money. We feed them through cheap labor. And we feed them through health care. You go in the hospital today, you find most 80% black folk in the hospital, African Americans. Oh, we own dialysis. We own where they make money. We own Medicaid. That's where the money is coming from. Understand the numbers. Forget about the rhetoric. Understand the numbers, the facts. Who are we? Where are we in this world of society? So we are. This is all capitalism. And slavery created capitalism. So to keep it where it needs to be at, you have to have racism to make sure it stay in place. You have to have bigotry to make sure it stay in place. And you got to put people in power to make sure that happens. And you need liars. If you're conservative, you're racist. You went underground and came out from being a racist. A more formal word is called conservative. But that's who you are. Hope I answered your question.
Let's go back to some of the listening audience. We're going to go back to caller 6029. Caller 6029. We'd like to hear your response or commentary to this reverse psychology, I call it, where they are now using the white nationalism movement as part of the pretext of fighting this question of white people or Europeans are not being treated equally. What is your analysis on that scenario, caller 6029?
Yeah, well, that struggle around white nationalism has always been a red herring. It's not based in logic. It's based on politics. Of course, it's very easy to lose yourself into believing that, in fact, that you're not treated equally based upon skin color. But the reality is that in the case of America, white folks afforded all the opportunities that the society gives. So the notion that white folks feel that somehow they're being disadvantaged is a political one. So it's much easier to deal with the question in terms of, it's much more difficult to deal with the question of oppression if you understand the nature of oppression, if you understand that oppression affects people across the board, irrespective of skin color. For white folks, I think it's devastating from a psychological point of view to even deal with the fact that they also are an oppressed people, particularly poor white folks. So I think, therefore, it serves a very useful psychological advantage for poor white folks to believe that, in fact, they're being discriminated against. But otherwise, you would have to objectively look at the situation and realize that being white is an advantage in American society, so which means that there's one of two things happening. Either there's something fundamentally wrong with poor white folks in terms of why they're poor, or there's a system in place that ensures the oppression of poor white folks as it does Africans and others in the society. So I think from a psychological point of view, this notion in terms of that white folks are disadvantaged, it's just that. It serves a psychological need, I think, is part and parcel of how America operates. It's all about, evading reality. So nobody wants to confront reality. But as long as they confront reality, they're comfortable with blaming other people for the problems that they face, that they have, as opposed to understanding that the problems that they face are the result of a system in place that ensure their manipulation and their exploitation. So I think it's just a psychological situation as far as white folks are concerned. So when they talk about the fact that they're disadvantaged, it's laughable. It's very laughable. Even they understand it's laughable. But, again, that's America.
Okay, let's see if I call 4298. If you have any views or commentary on this whole issue of white nationalism. White nationalism. Call the 4298.
Yeah, this white nationalism is ideology that says white people are being exploited by people of color, and it's a form of reverse racism in order to perpetuate it by 1% in order to keep the working class divided and put it against one another. It appeals to white people and their white skin privileges, etc. But the reality is, the 1% is exploiting everybody underneath it, and it's sucking the money up, nothing's trickling down. And the problems of people of color are more pervasive and more desperate than white people. There are working class white people who are poor and identify a lot of them don't identify with other people of color and other working class people, and so they buy into this ideology of white nationalism, and that somehow people of color are against them and trying to hold. And it's just a racist scheme.
Thank you, caller. What we're going to do right now, we'll go back to Emmanuel. Emmanuel,
yes.
We talked about earlier that Kaepernick, one of his major focus was to take a position as relates to inequality in this country. And when you look at the database, if you research some of the databases on police behavior, you can see clearly that there is an issue of equality of treatment. What are some of the things you have found based on your research, looking at some of these databases for the last several years, that shows how the police force have been misbehaving in terms of how they treat people of color versus non-people of color?
Well, basically, say the white police officer can't murder. They cannot.
Say what?
They cannot
murder
white. What do they mean by they cannot murder?
Yes.
Until they are found guilty of murder. But you can't call them murderers. You know, they shoot unarmed people, this type of thing. But again, let's get some documentation. They've been killing black Americans for quite a time. Let's go back to 2007. Let's take 10 years. We had three officers have been convicted, three, in the last 10 years. And they got convicted for killing a 92-year-old grandmother. Now, African-American, 92-year-old grandmother. Three officers was charged with murder. That's amazing. That is totally amazing. A 92-year-old grandmother. Well, they couldn't use that phrase, "I feared for my life." This is the one they use all the time. "I feared for my life." Well, that's how rare it is. It's just amazing to me that the data, that how many got killed last year. 730 people got killed by the police last year, African Americans, by police. 1/4 of those incidents were because of mental illness. It's amazing. In 2016, 963 people got killed by police. And they had bypassed that of last week by 9. So we're talking about 972 people got killed so far this year. They'll reach over the 1,000 mark. But very few police precincts, they keep that data. They don't catalog it very much. They don't monitor it. Because, again, their tracking is not that, because, again, the tracking is not that efficient. They don't like these numbers. They do not like these numbers. My thing is, who gets searched and who don't get searched? We're 12% of the population, basically. But we get stopped 80% of the time. To do what? And get searched. And we're treated totally different. Pulled out our car, put on our, you know, got nice clothes on, put you on the concrete, is mad. They're mad all the time. Because you got these nationalists, these Nazis, these Klan guys, as police officers. They won't weed them out. Their grandfather was a police officer. Great-grandfather was one. Their father was one. That qualifies them. The qualification almost for every job is skin color. They make sure of that. Because they do not want you giving them orders. There's some slavery. The same concepts are still there. We don't stand up. Searches are very common in some states, in some cities. They're very common. Because it makes money. Putting you in jail makes money. How can you be 78% of the criminal population? We're talking about probation. We're talking about waiting for sentencing. We're talking about incarceration. How can that be? But you're not racial profiling. The football player, for instance, example, in Las Vegas. Here it's shooting. So he's a football player. He's running. He has a job. This guy makes $8-9 million a year on a job he's got. When he finishes that job, what job he gonna get next? Maybe $300-500 a week? He don't need a job after that though. Handcuffed him, put the gun at his head. What are we doing? Well, this is how they arrest you. See, quite honestly, guys, the listeners, every year I have to pick up my jaw a little bit because the numbers are very, very consistent that what goes on every year since 2007. Black people, African Americans, the racial disparate treatment at traffic stops are totally different by law enforcement, like they haven't been trained. All the training go out the window when they see you. I think a couple weeks ago I read where this European police officer stopped a white woman, European woman, and she was scared. And know what she said? And know what he said, basically. She said, "I'm scared." He said, "Don't be afraid. We only shoot black people. We only shoot black people." Donald Trump tweeted about that one. He ain't tweeting about that. That's a worthwhile tweet at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. See, these are the things that make me say what I say. I'm going to say it again. I think I can say it again. You know, quite honestly, every year, I have to pick up my jaw a little bit because the numbers are very, very consistent. It has a great impact on me. But again, care how much training you get, when you are basically a Nazi, Ku Klux Klan, one of those bigot groups, and you're a police officer, the training goes out the window when you see a black person. The training goes out of the window. That's the way they're going to treat you. you're never going to be treated any better. You're never going to be treated no better, no matter what. Since 1965, where they outlawed segregation to a certain point of accountability. All the things that happened in 1965, the same things are happening right now. They're not going to push them up, you know, they're not going to do anything about it. They're not going to explain it. The analysis show you exactly what's going on with minorities, how they stop them, basically. The bias is very explicit. They're very overt. But again, for them to do how to rectify this, they need to report every stop. You get the driver's license, you call it whatever's on the driver's license, put it on that report. We can get some data, some perfect data. They're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. But this is a systemic issue of racial profiling. It's going to stay that way. Because it makes money. But the traffic court, I've been to quite a few.
You know what we're going to do right now? We're going to pause for the calls. We're going to take a station break. And when we come back, we'd like to hear your commentaries, your analysis on how the NFL give a grade in terms of how they're dealing with this so-called crisis. We'd like to hear your view about recently the football player from Seattle, the man you just spoke about, based upon the investigation from the Las Vegas Casino and Las Vegas Police Department. They said that was no wrongdoing. Matter of fact, they stated that by him running out the door, created most of that scenario on himself. We'd like to hear your view, your perspective on that, and many more issues. What we're going to do right now, we're going to take a station break. We'll be right back. This is Missing Pages of History. Come and join us by calling in at 818-337-0016. Help us fill in our missing pages. We'll be right back. This is Missing Pages of History.
I believe that you
welcome you back to Missing Pages of History. Yes, let's teach our children, teach them a new way. We got to find a new way. We are dealing with this reality of there are some forces today who want to go backwards, move humanity back into enslavement. We are making, talking about commentaries and doing analysis on recent current events, particularly this behavior of Donald Trump, his tweets, his comments, and how institutions and people in general are responding to it. We left on our station break. We said we'll come back. We'd like to hear your views and comments on this issue by dialing 818-337-0016. Please hit 1, and we will acknowledge your last four numbers. As I stated earlier before we left, the young man who played football for Seattle Seahawks recently diverted was that when they did their investigation, they came back from the Las Vegas Police Department, and the casino said that was no wrongdoing. And we'd like to know, what is your views on this issue and others? We have a caller that's been waiting for a while. We're going to bring this new caller in. Caller 8963, welcome to Missing Pages of History. Your commentary or analysis of these events.
Well, I think what happened is that the football player, I think at some point, someone recognized who he was, and this was all a ploy to go after him, just like they target us a lot of times. And anyway, because to wait the amount of time that they did to produce this so-called video, where you can even see on the video that he wasn't the only one that was running, because no one really knew what was going on at that time. So I think to some extent he was targeted because of who he was and everything. And like he said, he did nothing wrong, and he couldn't understand why they, you know, approached him in the beginning anyway. But that was just a way for them to come out and just say, we're going to get somebody, so we know you play ball, and we're gonna mess with you tonight. I think that's all that was.
Okay, thank you, Carla. Emmanuel, coming back to you, then I go back to my callers, because I'd like to hear their views and comments on this question, Emmanuel. And this question is, looking at what's going on today, is this a teachable moment for the youth today? What do we tell our youth about what's happening today as it relates to them? What do we tell them? How do we explain this?
Very difficult. This is a change in time. So this is going to be only temporary. Donald Trump, you will probably not be elected the second time around. I doubt it seriously. But what do we tell our children? We got to tell them the history. Let them know that this is not what you're looking at now. This was not 30, 40 years ago. Totally something different. The military one time was very segregated. We fought in World War I as the segregated forces. France didn't know what was going on. France had no idea. He thought we fought together. They were black and they were white battalions. This is how separate we are. World War II, almost the same thing. Vietnam War, blacks were signed at 3 or 4 MOSs, basically, waiting on white people, driving trucks, cooking. Navy, same thing. See, we better get this thing straight. Because as far as white people concerned, the Europeans, they think this ain't ever happened. Slavery never happened. None of this stuff ever happened. You got a 400-year lead on us. A discriminatory segregation, Jim Crow, Reconstruction era. You have all of this. Laziness wants somebody to wait on you all the time. Do work for you, you want to call them lazy. If you were not lazy, you wouldn't need no slaves. But you couldn't enslave the Indian. He wasn't going to do it. And you couldn't intimidate him. See? Well, he didn't mind hanging you, scalping you. See, we're not going to do that. We're docile. We come over here in ships like sardines, no clothes on, no shoes on. You hung us, raped our women, brutalized us, made a whole new race of people called mulattoes, or morays they call them, breeding pens. See, nobody want to talk about you, but I am. Who you really are, and the guy in the White House, who he really is. See, he's a son of SOB also, like everybody else is. That's where he is also. But like I said, I'm not standing down. I'm not standing down. You can keep standing down if you want to. I'm glad the NFL players are standing up. Because again, what are we going to tell our children? What we tell our kids now, what I tell my grandchildren, they tell us to put our hands on the wheel when the police stop us because you got a nice car. Because they're not used to that. They're jealous because they can't buy their kids one. But the kids got plenty. Going to affluent areas, the ones who are not struggling. I lived in California. I've been to Beverly Hills. And the kids come to school in limos, Porsches. That's what they come to school in, Lamborghinis. 7 to 18-year-old children, white kids. Show them that. Show them that. Like I said before, 35,000 black millionaires in this whole country, and you got 295,000 millionaires in L.A. by itself. We aren't talking about New York yet, New York City. There's, I believe, it's 1,800 billionaires. 1,800. And we got 0.02%. We got 7. And one got $1 billion. That's one. And they worth less than, I think they said, $2.1 billion. That's all they worth. Assets. And our millionaires are worth a little over $4 million. $4 million now. Peanuts. And they're talking about, them caught up. You will never catch up. You're 400 years behind. You're never going to catch up because you don't have any businesses. You don't own anything. That's why you never catch up. They're not going to let you own anything. Affirmative action is only for them. The banks say yes to them. They say no to you, and that's affirmative action. You have no affirmative action, just the word. That inequality also. You can't get the loans. You can't do anything. They're not going to let you build no roads. They're not going to let you be a part of this, the money-making things. They'll put you in prison, but you can't build no prison. They'll put you in one. If you do, you got to hire 10% minority contractors. You can paint it maybe at the most. That's all you're going to do. They're going to make sure you make the least amount of money. You're not here to make money. They're mad because the athletes are getting paid. How many athletes are there? So few. An average black athlete makes less than $6 million. Average white athlete makes over $13 million. See, because we don't look at numbers. Don't look at highest paid football players, a quarterback, ain't won nothing. They pay for mediocrity. But most of them, they're mediocre. We're the superior players. We got to fight for our money. They want to give you nothing. I want you to play that game of football. Entertain them. We're just entertainers so they can make a profit. They're making all the money. They're billionaires. Not one team is owned by a black person. Two or three basketball teams have partial investors like Michael Jordan. So we have nothing. But we don't talk about that. I do. Because we don't
have nothing. Let me stop right there. We have a few minutes left. We would like to get some final thoughts from our participant. We can go back to caller 6029. Caller 6029, Kenneth Vick, Teachable Moment. What do we tell our youth today?
I agree. We have to educate the youth. We don't have any choice. If we expect, you know, the youth to perform in society, then they have to do it on the basis of information. I think that's first and foremost what we have to do. But first, we have to educate ourselves, but definitely we have to educate the youth.
Thank you, Lord, that caller. Okay. Let's try to call. Let's go to caller 4298. Can we make this a teachable moment? What do we say to our youth today? Caller 4298.
What do we say to our youth today?
Yes, concerning the prison situation that we're going through.
We have to study history to know how we got to this situation. We have to educate our youth as to who we are and the situation that we're in, and whether or not we are the picture. So they know that we have a history of struggle here, and we have a history of struggle throughout the world against racism, bigotry, sexism.
All right. We only have a few minutes left. This is Missing Pages of History. Our theme today is MPH News Commentaries, Analysis, and Tweets. We would like to hear your views, your perspective, your comments. You're always welcome to do this. Remember, Missing Pages of History is a bi-weekly radio program. We come to give analysis, speak on issues, and to educate and inform our communities of issues of importance. But more than anything, we want to be a voice, and want you to be a voice for your community. Only you can speak for your community. So please feel free on any other Saturday. Call in at 818-327-0016. And if you have any views or comments after the program, you can write us. Email us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. Right now, before we do our final closing by Emmanuel and his thoughts, we'd like to share a few announcements with you. We'd like to remind you that coming up this Wednesday, we'll be doing a program dealing with racism and capitalism, which will be aired on Comcast Channel 35 and Fio Channel 36 in the Richmond metro area of the state of Virginia. Make sure you tune in. We also have an ongoing raffle drawing fundraiser coming up on November the 4th. If you haven't purchased your tickets, please do so. One of the things y'all doing in terms of when you buy a ticket or support MPH in any capacity, you are helping us to serve and to contribute in areas of need for our community and people. We'll be doing a dinner drive, a Thanksgiving drive coming up this November, as well as a Christmas drive for underserved youth who need support, who need materials, who need food, who need clothing. These kind of resources we use to help improve our community. So we need your support, and more importantly, we'd like to even have you come and join us, help build this organization, so we can work together more collectively. So what we're going to do right now is remind you that every other Saturday we are on, our fundraiser drive will be November the 4th. Please support us. Also, we have a T-shirt cap drive. You can go to our website at www.mphinc.org. You can really find out about all the various programs and good work that MPH is doing and are in the process of developing to help serve our people and communities. We need your support, and we thank you. What we're going to do right now in terms of our final thoughts, closing thoughts, we'd like Emmanuel just to give us a summation on today's topic. And that's dealing with commentaries, analysis. We were talking about Donald Trump, his tweets, his actions for the past 6 months, and his impact on our communities in the world. So, Emmanuel, we have about 5 minutes left. We'd like to have your final thoughts and your summation on today's program.
Well, I have to say that the last 8 months Donald Trump has been in office, it's been a disaster, and he's a disaster. His tweets are disastrous. He's definitely unbalanced. He don't have priorities. He don't have no plans, no strategy for anything, basically. It's impromptu. Everything he do is impromptu. He's possessed with Obama. He's obsessed with Hillary Clinton. He's just obsessed with things that don't concern him anymore, basically. He's obsessed with Congress, people in Congress. The health bill didn't pass again for the 61st time. Not going to pass. He got trying to do tax reform now. He's talking about other things. He got storms, still, you know, remnants of Harvey, still there. Maria, I mean, just still there. Puerto Rico is a huge problem for him. He has no idea what he got himself involved in. He's a real estate person. He just tells people to sell stuff and do things, borrowing money. That's all he did. It's in that New York type thing that people do, how to take people's money, how to take things. That's all he knows how to do, is how to take. He's a person of nonsense. What he do is nonsense. And again, I consider him, he's a phenomenal in the things that he's doing. He's told a phenom and doing, being a disaster. He's the worst president we had for the first 8 months I've ever seen since I've been living. He will never be the president, the best president we ever had was Obama. Nobody even close to Obama. No scandal, no anything. They don't like that. He was too perfect of an individual to be president. But look what he did for 8 years. Can't erase that. Can't erase those 8 years. They made the history books. Can't wait to see his library when it come out. His library will be amazing. But again, the police brutality, the NFL keep doing what they're doing. We have to show more ownership. We need to organize our millionaires we have and let them buy into what we have, ownership-wise, so blacks can have jobs. There's going to be a retaliation from Donald Trump to black folk, but they didn't vote for him. He's not going to give you anything. He only got 8% of the vote. He don't like that at all. Again, he's got to keep his base, and he'll do anything to keep his base. He has a racist base, and he know he has a racist base. But again, I told you before, 80% of America is racist to a certain degree. They're racist. Understand where we are. You are a slave, and for their concern, you're always going to be one. Your kids, let them learn the Dred Scott decision, where you'll never be a U.S. citizen, ever. Decision was 72 to the Supreme Court. The 14th Amendment made you a citizen. The First Amendment do not, basically, that's not you. They're not talking about you. You're trying to make it you. They saying it's not you. I'm listening to you. They've never listened to you. Because they're racist. Not going to listen to you ever. This country is more than 40% German. 40%. Over 40% German. Talking about 20% Irish. They don't like you. That's 60% right there. You know what the deal is. Understand the mathematics of economics. Learn your kids that. Tell them, take the math and take the economical classes. Let the liberal arts sort of swell down itself. Learn the legal system. What you can do, what you can't do. You go to court, don't say anything. Get an attorney. Always get the court of court attorney. Regardless, they might not do that good, but get one. Let them know that you're reading. yet you know your rights. Because these people, European Americans, you're not going to straighten them up. In the backseat of their father's and mother's car, they tell them this crap. At the dinner table, they tell them this crap. You're better than they are. Why? And they tell them exactly why. They can say anything now. They don't have to wear hoods anymore. They wear suits and neckties now. Look at Richard Petty. You know what he's all about. Look at NASCAR. You know what that's all about. He put us, they buy a ticket, put us on the bus. Why don't he get on a ticket and get on the bus and get up out of here? Go back to Europe. Go back over there. Go where your kind are. We have to step up and challenge. We have to step up and challenge because there are similar beats in the European community. They're similar. Or you just ride around in your car, see how they live, and see how you live, how the majority of them live. Go on a cruise ship and see who's on the cruise ship. Out of 3,000 people, might be 1%, might be 10 black families. They have all the money. They have all the opportunity. Everything is geared toward them. The only way you're going to stop it is sanctions, is boycotting. The only way you're going to stop it. Christmas, just buy a couple of gifts. Don't buy 30. Valentine's Day, buy a little small box of candles, a card. Let it go. Easter, don't everybody buy new outfits. Look at the ones you got clean. When you stop that pocketbook, I call it economic math, that's when they want to talk. That's when they're going to come to the table. This is capitalism, people. Only thing talk is the pocketbook. Once you stop the pocketbook, they want to talk. Because we are the profit margin of America. We spend $1.3 trillion. Of the $4.5 trillion for budget, they need one-fourth of our money to make it happen. That's why you don't own anything. They're not going to let you help it so much. They want you to bring their money to them. That's what we do. We bring our money to them. There's no room for savings, no room to invest, because you need all of your money to bring it to them. They give you enough just to bring it to them. They're going to keep doing this because, again, black people, African Americans, Hispanics, you are the profit margin of America. With Hispanic and others in black America, we do $2.6 trillion. We do more than half of the budget of America. We are the profit margin of America. The minorities are. That's why they own Wall Street. They invest all over the world. You can't. Because they're taking your money that you bring to them, and they're investing their money into overseas banking institutions, building up other countries, making money from other countries, charging crazy money, especially in Africa. We're going to get on that subject also. But again, to what the host was saying, I'm going to do the origin of the national anthem. Why should we be standing once you hear the words? Once you hear the words and the lyrics, I don't think nobody wants to stand. Thank you, host.
Thank you, Emmanuel. Thank you for your contribution and your commentaries, analysis, and tweets as relates to Donald Trump, his tweets, his actions, and the response for the rest of the world. We have attempted to fill in a missing pages as relates to the realities that oppressed communities are facing in the year of 2018 in the U.S. and throughout.
like to remind our listening audience to join us next week, which will be October 7th at 1 p.m. as we continue to fill in our missing pages of history. We see you next week at 1 p.m., same time, same station. If they don't care about us, we must care about us. So please, listen, audience, join some organization. Come together, work in unity to fight all forms of oppression and injustice. Until next time, we say, with unity, with struggle, the victories are ours. We thank you.
Thank you.
We leave you now with the lesson from Michael Jackson.